This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation here on an overreaction Cowboys Monday at 877-881-1053. The Frankel Injury Attorney text line is open for you. And please leave your name and city you're texting from. I don't know what you could say, that would be an overreaction at this point. Everything seems pretty logical to me if you're saying the Cowboys are the same as last year. I mean, how far could you take it? What kind of an overreaction do you have? General at your service. There's Broadus. He's breaking the film already. And he has Krusty's Corner coming up at 3:40. He'll have a batch of takeaways there. Lucius Alexander is in the Pimp Cup at Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh. Of course, Wolchuk and Chia follow. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. And along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Have at it, boys. What do you say? I mean, we do have a double bet payoff coming, so that is cool.
Is it cool?
I think so for the Tolos.
I'm pretty excited. Very excited for this double bet payoff Friday.
What the hell? You're up 10 with 10 minutes to go against a bad football team and you lose?
Yeah, at home.
Whew. That might be the only fan base that might be as frustrated as we are right now.
Yeah, and now it's a Sunday collision course AT&T Stadium between two teams with a bad taste in their mouth.
Two desperate teams.
Yeah, you can say that 0-2 Ravens coming in after they just got bloodied up and embarrassed at the end.
It's a must-win game for them, man.
Yeah, it does. It does feel like an early season must-win game. Taking that L was extremely painful. I'm heartbroken today. Yesterday was as bad as a day could go from the Cowboys to Survivor. Sucks.
It was just a terrible football weekend all the way around. Need to apologize to the Red Raider fans out there. Really thought North Texas had a chance going into Lubbock and putting up a good game. That was dead balls wrong. Texas Tech kicked our ass. Then I got to apologize to the New Orleans Saints. Thought you were fool's gold.
Yeah.
You're not. I did not respect the Saints' offensive line nor defensive line. They dominated this football game. So I apologize to both of those fan bases. I was wrong. And New Orleans, man, that's a tough team right there. I mean, I'm interested to see watching them the rest of the year. I mean, that could be a division champ and a team that if you're the Cowboys and you have any hope of making the postseason, you might have to see them again.
Yeah.
I don't know that it'll be any different, but I agree with what you said there, Gavin. I mean, to me, this felt a lot like, and I know Brad didn't agree in the postgame. We'll get to that in two guys, one booth. But
at 6?
Yeah, 6:20.
Yeah.
But it felt like a lot of the L's that this team took last year against good football teams, whether it was San Francisco or Buffalo or the playoff game against Green Bay or you name it. But the second things start to go wrong, there's a snowball effect and there's no kind of backbone or fight back, especially on the defensive side of the football when you're facing adversity to say, like, guys, can we shake out of this? Like, you just don't see the correction. And offensively, I understand fans that are, hey, you got a $60 million quarterback. I need touchdowns. I don't need field goals. I will say yesterday to me was more about the defense than the offense. They put up points their first five drives. But I understand you need to cash in for touchdowns. You need to be better in that area. You couldn't settle for field goals in that game. And I think that was very apparent once it was 14-3. Like, guys, you got to finish in the end zone. Field goals are doing you no good.
Yeah, I think the red zone offense needs to be examined here.
Yeah,
I think the fact that the Cowboys, what happened to them physically on defense with the Saints running game is something that we've examined and really talked about a bunch. But when you go back and you look at the All-22, there were things in the red zone. The Cowboys could have made this an interesting game.
Sure.
Could they have got a stop? Yeah, that was debatable.
No.
That was debatable. But the fact of the matter is that they missed some passes down in the red zone. The red zone execution wasn't very good. the quarterback missed a swing route. He missed a flat route. You know, there's a couple of things that he, you know, like I say, the wheel they could have thrown for a touchdown. He had some opportunities, mm-hmm. and your defense was so bad that it really overshined the.
Shadowed the
team effort.
Yeah, how bad? Thank you. Appreciate it. Sometimes I don't get this right.
I we've worked with you long enough. I kind of know where you're going.
But, it was a long day yesterday too, man. I bet you haven't slept.
No, I'm fine. The thing, but when you watch, there's some things that they absolutely could have done better in the red zone. And now I'm thinking about everybody's smart. Well, Cowboys' lack of a running game, this, that, and the other. I'm like, man, this red zone offense isn't very good. You know, and I think it kind of, you look at what the play caller and what they're trying to do, the creativity. Yeah, there's you know, there's things that you can do that they tried. They tried to flip. They tried the reverse. They ran the reverse, the same reverse that the Saints ran for a first down. And, you know, but they don't block the edge. You know, so now it's a negative play. And, you know, it's just, that goes to show you, though, they kind of feel like, oh, this, we can maybe take advantage of this, and they don't. So it just not all about the defense here. The offense, they had its moments where it wasn't very good or where it needed to be to win that game.
I love the 6A too. He says that, well, the Cowboys said if it ain't broke, don't fix it with their game plan and got absolutely destroyed. Yeah, you know, I think that's one of the frustrating things about watching this all go down is they did make an adjustment on defense, and I think if you give Mike Zimmer time, the end result's going to be, you know, pretty dang good.
Well, they weren't good. Very good yesterday.
No, they weren't.
They weren't good.
But that's always the case with Mike Zimmer in his first year.
Yeah.
You know, we could see this coming.
Yeah, if you look at how they handled certain plays in the Saints, you got to give them credit for the way that they were able to. I thought it was super creative the way that they made it appear that Micah Parsons was going to be singled, and then they brought like the wing all the way across at the snap.
Yeah,
not motion him across, but like wait till the snap's made and then run him across, like how running backs are in the backfield and then they look inside out to do blitz pickups. There were a couple different times where they had two tight ends, well, fullback and a tight end blocking on Micah.
Mm-hmm.
And then they could slide the line to where they needed to pick everything else up. It's almost like they said, we're not going to let Micah kill us in the passing game, and we're not going to let Tank hurt us in the running game. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what they identified.
It's a good strategy against the Cowboys
defense. They identified
defense.
Who your best players were in those particular situations. And there were a couple of times with the crack tosses, the ability. Like I said in the cross, if Dallas's linebackers are not making tackles, their run game is in trouble. It just they don't have anything else that can help them defend the run. And if they're going to allow blockers to get up on them as quickly as they did in that game,
it's game over.
Game over.
And Overshown's not helping that. Like that was a big Twitter chatter after the game, like the lack of snaps for DeMarvian Overshown. I was alarmed watching the game as well, thinking, where is he? But that's a player where if the defensive front isn't keeping your linebackers clean, which they weren't yesterday, Overshown's going to struggle when a lineman gets to the second level and gets on him to shed blocks. He's also a guy that is a converted safety at Texas that has that type of build. You know, he's bigger than Marquise Bell. He certainly is, but he's also not your typical huge built linebacker. He is going to struggle to shed at times. You've got to keep him clean so he can use his speed and athleticism.
Yeah, as a group, though, they overran some plays, too. They, you know, if you look at the way that Kendricks play, there, like I say, the screen play, that was really on him. You know, he's got the one-on-one coverage. He went too far to his right. The ball went back to his left. You know, that's a huge play. Carson took a terrible angle to get to the ball.
Yeah.
You know, could have made the tackle in the open field. They didn't get that done. Just really all around pretty bad in what they needed to do with their fits and their finish.
If I'm the Cowboys today, I'm thinking, man, can we fix this? And, you know, I think the defense is going to take some time. It'll have great games, you know.
It will if the offense is able to score right along with the other
team. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah,
is, you know,
that's what you have to have.
This could have been a game where you go back and forth with them and it turns into a shootout.
Right.
And now that like this offense doesn't have the potential to do that, and they can't play ball control because it's 3 yards an attempt.
Right.
They have got to address this running game because, as you coined them so well last year after the Packers lost, they're front runners. And if they can't play with a lead, they look like one of the worst teams in the NFL.
They do.
We continue to see that. So how do you play with a lead? you do it like how the Saints did. You open up the third quarter and you hold the ball for a bleep load amount of time, you know? And right now the Cowboys have no ability to do that. They need broken tackles where dudes just whiff on CeeDee Lamb, or penalties to move the ball down the field against anything resembling a really good defense, you know? And other than the first half against Cleveland, it was clear they were dealing with rust, but snapped back into life, into form in the second half. And now this New Orleans team, who's, what, just above average defensively? They looked really toothless. Dak missed a bunch of throws. Like, I still have confidence this team is going to be in the playoff picture. You know, I think this is more a result of, like, what they do. They lay a massive egg, like, once a month, usually against a physical team and a team that runs schemes that give them trouble, and both those things happened yesterday at the same time. So the Cowboys are right back to where they were last year. It's just a slightly different flavor. And how can you look at that running back situation and have any faith right now? Both those guys are stuck in quicksand. That's the last time I want to see Zeke or Deuce Vaughn for the rest of the year. That's depressing. Yeah. Like, Jerry wants you to turn on the TV and get excited. That's why they never rebuild, because he wants every single... How can you say that's happening with those running backs? Does he know they're that bad? Does he know they inspire meh as you're sitting there on the couch or just wanting to go to sleep? 29-year-old Alvin Kamara is coming into the game and looking like a blur, you know? That's what speed looks like, you know? And it's crazy. I think in football, all these guys are fast, but there's a huge difference in the levels of speed. Like on CeeDee Lamb's touchdown, there was a gentleman that came from the opposite side of the field absolutely flying, right? That's the difference in, like, good playmaker speed and amazing speed. And the Cowboys are just punting on that at running back, you know? So why are they doing this? Why are they re-racking essentially the same thing? It has to come down to lack of awareness or just intentional engagement farming. Like, this is how good we have to be relevant and to keep America talking about us. And we're not going to risk the future in order to try to win now. Like, we got a report yesterday. The 49ers were trying to trade for Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
You know, already the best team in the NFC. They're like, oh, I know. Let's add $35 million to our payroll right now.
Well, yeah, they did that with McCaffrey. I mean, even though McCaffrey was hurt all the time and stuff, but that's worked out really, really well for them. Now he's hurt again. But but to your point, yeah, they're going out and getting, like, the best player if they can.
Yeah, we have a need at this position. Who's the absolute best player available? And the Cowboys continue to, you know, pass on that idea and take a more sustainable year-to-year approach than, you know, trying to build a great team. So, you know, other than that, I think there's, you know, a lot of ways we can talk about this. The Franklin Frankel injury text line is open for you. 9-4-0, I woke up and saw Kamara had two touchdowns and decided to not even watch the game. Most productive Sunday. Anybody else have that feeling yesterday, like in the fourth quarter of, holy cow, I don't even want to watch any more of this. I'm good. I mean, there's no chance of winning and there's no entertainment value.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, why would you continue to sit through that? It was an absolute bludgeoning, and it was very similar to what you saw in that playoff game. It was an easy change the channel game, no question.
214, you get boat raced and you call the Saints defense average. Gavin, you're awful, dude. Well, that's what they've been, you know.
Their offense has helped their defense a ton.
Yeah,
they really, and I give them credit though for some of the red zone plays they made. You know, they did a good job of when they had to be in position or get off a block or knock a ball down, or, you know, I think sometimes you kind of helped them along the way. Quarterback, like I say, quarterback missed a couple of passes that could have been a difference making. And people say, well, he was running for his life. Well, sure. Still wasn't very good in the game yesterday. That was a big departure from where he was in week one. But yeah, you know, with the things with Dak, you know, you're going to need him to make plays. And when the guys are open or they call a route, and it's up the field to Rico Dowdle on the wheel. They miss the pick, but they get the route. You got to throw the ball up the field.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's got to make that play. You know, you can't miss a route inside to CeeDee Lamb on the goal line right there. You got to fit it right in there. You can't throw the ball to the outside. Is that on Lamb or is that on Prescott? Well, you know, figure that out. You know, that play needs to be hit in a game where you needed points. You needed to find ways to put pressure on the Saints, and you never could offensively.
Yeah, it's really rough. 4-1-0, bring up Dalvin Cook. Zeke was slow and on that play when Dak almost got sacked.
It's like we're clinging to hope now. Dalvin Cook's your answer.
Yeah.
I mean, Dalvin Cook couldn't really get playing time on a bad Jets team last year. He was been available for a reason. I mean, hey, I'm hopeful. Maybe Dalvin Cook shows you a little something, but the odds are very unlikely that Dalvin Cook is fixing that issue.
No, no, he's been washed for a while. The idea that the Cowboys would go get Zeke and Dalvin Cook to solve their running back needs, that's the blinking red light position of get younger, get younger, get younger at every turn.
Yeah,
and that's what they decided to bring in here, and that's what happens when you're bringing in like August players.
Yeah,
your defensive tackles are going to get pushed around and embarrassed because you're trying to solve an issue in August.
Yeah. Well, they tried to draft a guy to play one technique, and it didn't work. I mean, if you look at it right now, I mean that's the problem is you're compounding problems is what you're having to do. You know, if Mozzie Smith turns out to be the type of player that you think you drafted him for, well, then maybe you don't have to go out and get guys. But that's, I personally feel like, yeah, the running game's a problem. I think the red zone offense is more of a problem. I just do.
That's been a problem for
years.
That to me
right now is, you know, there's the way that the design of it, the routes. I mean, you look at Prescott and it's five vertical and it's like he gets sacked because he's trying to fit the ball inside to Tolbert. When Cook's on the outside, he's got some space. You know, I mean, it's throwing the ball to span forward on fourth down when he's double covered.
I'm like, what are we doing?
No one was really open on the play. I see what he's trying to do. He's trying to bring span forward over and see, but that's his first target in the NFL, and we're going to throw it to him. And the game was out of hand. I'm just telling you, but, you know, you're trying to kind of just work on and get any kind of little bit momentum. But yeah, the play caller, the execution, the quarterback, the receivers, the offensive line, take your pick.
Yeah.
Take your pick with the offense right now. I mean, just take your pick. And that's kind of where it's at. They just don't, you know, but that red zone offense is more of an issue, and hopefully that won't be the case much more, but boy, we need to talk about that.
Absolutely. I'd love to have that chat. I feel like it's been something throughout Dak's career that's popped up in more than half the seasons, his red zone efficiency.
Yeah.
Yesterday, he was talking and said, I'm thinking it'd be nice to be doing that on our side of the ball about the Saints offense. He says, credit to the play caller over there and to that team for coming out and being ready on a noon start.
Maybe a little shot at the head coach there.
I wonder, you know, I do think if you're a quarterback, you're paying attention to the things the other teams are running and how much hell that they're giving your defense and thinking, wow, I wish we could do some of that would be one of the first things that would come to mind. I mean, how many more times do we have to see it? You know, this has been going on for 8 years now, basically, this offensive revolution. And the Cowboys are still being like, yeah, look, they just, you know, more than one way to skin a cat. But wow, those teams. I mean, Steve was talking about the Houston and San Francisco and Miami and all these teams at the top. How the bleep can you not say, let's get a coach that does this? Like, Clint Kubiak should be at the top of your Rolodex right now. Just that card sitting there until whenever you can talk to them, right? What is that? After the wild card weekend?
Yeah.
They'll probably win a wild card game. You ask me, this New Orleans team actually pretty good.
If I found out that Jerry was doing some tampering yesterday in that building, trying to go ahead and get ahead of the thing with old Kubiak, I'd be fine with it.
It's
causes the traffic, whatever.
It's not even that hard. Like, when they ended up moving on and they wanted a new offensive coordinator, I sat here during a break and I went through who are the assistant coaches for those type of offenses. Bobby Slowick was on the list of guys that I pulled up. If I'm able to do this, just a radio host schmuck myself, why can't you do it there in the building?
Schmuck yourself. Because you care, Wolchuk. Because you want to work hard and turn over every stone to make this football team better. Some people are just living the billionaire sports owner lifestyle.
I wish I didn't care as damn much because still sucks.
You know what I mean? Jerry will tell you that.
I want to claw with my fingernails for that inch.
He is not in line with the fans. Okay, Wolchuk, where are we going next before the G-bag of the day?
Well, it is an overreaction Monday. Let's play some NFL true or fart with these overreactions.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
That's next in the nation.
Welcome back, nation. 210 says left during the third quarter to buy a slab of ribs. Took a great nap after the second quarter, says Constable Scott. 469 says, I picked taking wife's pictures for a social media thing over watching the Cowboys. The end of the world is here. I know that feeling of, oh no, it is just like last year hit a lot of people. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. McCarthy presser at the top of the hour, by the way, Lucius. My bad. I missed that on the show sheet. Here's Woolchuck with some NFL overreactions.
Let's do it. Let's react to week two in the National Football League with some NFL true or fart.
All right, we've moved to the red zone as far as the running back conversation goes here on this SportsCenter Fantasy Draft Special. True or fart, false. Marshawn Lynch matches last year's production.
Thank you very much, Robert Flores, for birthing this game. 877-881-1053. You can play along with us as well if you agree with the statement. True. If you disagree, it is a flatulence, a.k.a. a fart. All right, I'll start with you, Eric Chiafalo. True or fart. The Saints have the best offense in the NFC.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, currently, right now, I think that is pretty fair to say. The Packers are super interesting to me, though. I still think once Jordan Love comes back, I mean, what Matt LaFleur did with Malik Willis, that dude's legit, that dude being Matt LaFleur. And that's another guy that, you know, is out there and running an offense that gives you fits and you still don't want to steal it. And it's pretty frustrating. But, yeah, I think that that's fair when McCaffrey gets back. You know, I think that's going to be the Niners will be right in the mix here. But what the Saints are doing right now, and they're catching people off guard to some extent. Yes, this is San Francisco, but it's like a new iteration of it. It's the same when Miami Mike Daniel comes to town. And for the first month of the season, everybody's heads are spinning. And then they kind of catch up to it, so it's still early, but right now the Saints are as good a football team as there is in the sport.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and buy that as well. You know, I think you could definitely scoreboard them for their quality of competition, but you just don't score this many points. It's three games in a row now going back to week 18 of last year without being incredible. So, you know, I think ultimately you're going to be tested by great defenses, and we'll see how they execute against them for the ultimate answer in January. I'll probably end up picking San Francisco in the long run, but as it sits right now, I'll go Saints.
I'll tell you, the balance they play with is impressive for the first 2 weeks. Their ability to run the football and then the way they pass it and the efficiency that they pass the ball with, I think, is a real plus. So, yeah, you know, the Carolina game was a nice win for them. The Dallas win, I mean, kind of all felt like Dallas's defense was better than this, you know, probably better than Carolina's defense, but they sure didn't play like it. So yeah, I'd have to say for the balance, their ability to put you in bad situations, yeah, best offense. But you know, you'll people talk about San Francisco. I didn't see exactly what they did. I didn't see Tampa. Tampa looks like they're on a little
Tampa's
bit of a run.
Got a good offense. They put up 20 points. Yeah, against Detroit.
So I need to figure out what they're doing offensively, but they're 2-0 right now, but the Saints, I think I would say that's true.
Offense was about 24 points per game last year for New Orleans with a long-standing stale offensive coordinator. I think it just goes to show you how important coaching is.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, they're averaging 32.5 points per game in the first half this year. They've got 91 points this season, tied for the fourth most through two games in NFL history.
See, I was looking at there because I was talking about the 21 personnel stuff with the two backs, one tight end, or 22. They're getting like 7.3 yards a play in that two tight end, two back offense.
You got to bulk up to stop the run. It makes you susceptible to the pass. It's perfect.
He's not going to be a headline player for you on the stat sheet, but the way that they're able to use Taysom Hill in such a variety of roles, yeah. I was like, damn, that is so impressive.
I did look down here. Tampa's quarterback has thrown for 5 touchdowns, 1 interceptions, which is the same as the Saints quarterback right there.
Yeah, so, Chris Godwin's playing great. Look, all of a sudden we were making fun of the NFC South. Now you look at the Bucs and the Saints, you're thinking, damn, those are two legitimate contenders here in the NFC. So I'm going to go true on that as well. Okay, unfortunately for Brian and I, we were doing the postgame show, so we didn't really get to have a full focus. But yet again, we get another classic Bengals-Chiefs. The Bengals, true or fart, Gavin Dawson, still remain the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC.
Oh, 100%. I mean, a 50-50 call at the end of that game to keep the Chiefs' drive alive. I feel like Cincinnati had that game won. You know, and a call went against Kansas City on that same drive just a few plays earlier. So maybe it all comes out in the wash and you say that's equal. But I don't think as a Kansas City fan you want to see Cincinnati in January at all right now.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference with Cincinnati and everybody else is Cincinnati, whether in Arrowhead or not, plays this team with like real confidence. And nobody else does. Buffalo, they're always close, but they never can really figure it out. But you also have to have an eye on Houston. That's the team
Houston
lurking.
Looks good.
But right now, I think it's still the fighting Joe Burrows.
Yeah, I like what Cincinnati's doing. In fact, I think I just went back and looked at something. They were the Chiefs weren't very good on third down. So, you know, and sometimes you can play a poor game and your defense bails you out. It looks like that's what Kansas City got yesterday. But, yeah, the Bengals know how to play the Chiefs, and I think that's always something that we can learn from.
Well, how about Cam Taylor-Britt? He was talking the bleep, and we're like, who the hell is this guy? He has the interception of the year yesterday as well. Last one very quickly, Brian brought us. Sam Darnold, true or fart, is going to lead the Vikings to the playoffs.
I'm going to say that's probably true. They look like they're playing very, very well right now. They're dealing with some injuries and stuff, but overall, though, he looks very comfortable playing the game. They had a nice goal line stand basically against San Francisco to kind of finish off that game. That was a great win for them. So yeah, give me the Vikings to be in the mix.
Yeah, in the mix for sure. I guess with Green Bay hurt, I'll take it. Wild card team.
I'll just fart on that.
I'm gonna fart too for now.
Thank you, Woolchuck.
Thank you.
It's time now to go into the Pimp Cup. Where Lucius has your G bag of the day.
I'm gonna fart on that too, by the way. Feeling farty.
Been a gassy weekend.
Yeah. Hey, all right, so our winner right here is Babe Loffenberg. He is part of the Cowboys radio broadcast. He joined the RJ and Choppy show for some trivia. He has some trivia for him. Sound like Babe got his numbers mixed up. He is our winner and champ of G-Bag of the Day so far. Do we have any idea how many days? Anybody?
I think this is just one.
Okay. Hey.
Yeah.
All right.
So Derek Carr has the third most touchdowns by a player who has worn the number 4, passing, 73. Dak Prescott has the second most, 74. Who is the leader in terms of touchdown passes with a number 4?
Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, September trivia.
Suck it, Peyton. Dang it. In your face.
How many did he have, guys?
How many career touchdown passes?
Yeah, Prescott has 74. Carr has 73.
507.
482.
Peyton, do you know?
I believe it would be 186, right?
Yeah, 186. Yep.
186. There's not a chance in hell that Brett Favre is.
That's the number of games he won.
Remember, he wore a different number.
What?
This is just by wearing the number 4.
There's no way. I'm looking this
what
up.
What was his other number? What?
He wore number 4 his whole career, babe.
Oh, my God. Did we get Babe Loffenberg? Did we turn his own trivia against him?
Even still, I was wrong. He only threw 336 touchdown passes. Or no, 508. 508.
I said 504. I said 507. Right? 508. I knew Manny 508. Snapped it.
Frick appeared.
But they were all his number 4, babe.
Yeah. 508?
Yep. Dak has way more than 73, I think.
Boo! Dak had like 40 last year.
Babe, I think you butchered all of this.
No, Dak's got 203.
That's amazing.
It's your boy. It's hilarious. All right, let's see here. Get the vibes right. R.I.P. to that boy Tito. R.I.P. to that boy Tito. I'm not sure if there would be a Jackson 5 if it wouldn't for Tito sneaking off with Joe's guitar. Learning how to try to play a guitar. Sneaking off with Joe's guitar. That's how they built that squad. All right, let's see here. Kevin Harlan kicked it to himself. There were some technical difficulties during the broadcast. He tried to swing it to Nate Burleson in the studio for an update. But Nate didn't hear anything, so Kevin, you know, professional broadcaster that he is, took care of it himself.
And let's take you to Nate Burleson in New York.
I can't hear anything.
I can hear you. Go, Nate, go. Here we go. Rodgers against Tennessee, and they're going deep, and it was caught by the Titans. Touchdown reception. The former Jacksonville Jaguar, Will Levis, with a long throw for Tennessee. Back to Minneapolis. All right, Nate, thank you. Second down, six. Outside they go. There's Ayuk with the catch, and out of bounds he goes. Shoved over there by Gilmore and Harrison Smith. And he's got the ball. And so first Kevin, down catch out to the, out to the Kevin, 42.
You have called two games at one time, and now you've called a studio and a game at the same time. So you never cease to amaze me. Incredible.
It's unbelievable.
Kevin's the best.
That guy is amazing.
He is amazing.
Yeah, he did that. I like how he threw it to himself.
Like nothing bothers him. Yeah, nothing bothers him.
Nah, he's in the flow, man.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the Cowboys radio broadcast. Eric, you are becoming like appointment radio for the pregame.
Don't tell that to the listening audience.
You're becoming appointment radio. You had old girl dunk on you the first week.
That's right.
What's her name?
I'm on
Aaron
a poster.
Aaron Andrews.
Aaron Andrews. And now we have Brad Sham. He just gave you a yellow light. He gave you a yellow light right here.
Pause. Yeah.
He said your mouth might be a little too big. Pause.
We had Mike Haas, voice of the Saints, on earlier.
I was sitting right next to him part of the time.
He was very impressed with the sushi halftime spread there. Just a tip of the cap.
Yeah, well, you know what? Can I just say this?
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys just need to go on the QT with the sushi halftime spread. That's our thing. And the more you advertise that over the intercontinental interballistic airwaves, then you know, then the more people are going to be saying, "Hey, wait a minute, just listen to the old man. Just shut up and come in and enjoy the sushi." Can you do that?
Yes.
I pretty incredible.
Just shut up and enjoy the sushi.
Threw him off sides there. I thought that was funny, Brad. I didn't take that personally, even though I know he was being very serious.
You were laughing the whole time.
Yeah, he gave you the yellow light. It's just a temperature check. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. That's absolutely all that was. Now, if you do it again, you might hear a different Brad.
It's no question.
That was a temp check.
Yeah, it was warranted as well.
A little scraping.
Did you go have sushi at halftime?
Dang right I did, man. Can't believe you guys saved me a couple pieces.
Yesterday was the church day. I pray you got your blessing. Shout out to my doctor, Pastor Freddie Haynes. I'm running into people out here in these streets, and they say, man, we love that you big up Pastor Freddie Haynes out here. So here's y'all. Shout out to you, man.
Salute.
And Reverend Ike, that's my boy too. I'm telling you, man. I'm confused. Let's see here. We got a youth pastor. He's trying out being the major pastor, but I don't understand his point.
I'm just getting this image of the throne room of God that the elders are castrating themselves in front of the Lord. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful picture.
What was he trying to say?
Beautiful picture.
What was he trying to say right there?
It was castration. It was beautiful.
Just quite the painted picture there.
Yeah. Throne room of God that the elders are castrating themselves in front of the Lord.
No, not castigating. I don't know what the word could be.
I don't know.
He didn't say castrating. Visual.
He said castrating.
That's what I thought.
I was wondering what he meant.
Wow. It was vulgar.
In front of the Lord.
Woo. Something like kneeling before the elders were kneeling.
Throne
maybe?
Room of God that the elders are castrating themselves in front of.
Anything come to mind, Chief?
Of the Lord.
You should get in heaven.
There's got to be a word. Bro. There's got to be a word for kneeling or something.
Can I just sacrifice my son, dear God?
There's got to be something. You should automatically get into heaven though if you're willing to do that right there at the.
I'm getting my first and second born. Let me keep those.
You're in there, bro. Gabriel will let you on in. Ain't that Gabriel at the front? Who is that at the front?
The text is saying prostrating.
Prostrating. That's what I'm trying to.
That sounds wilder.
Prostrating?
That doesn't sound right.
Is it like bending, kneeling,
yes.
bending?
Lay oneself flat on the ground, facing downward.
There we go.
In reverence or submission.
There you go.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank you, text.
Well, he was all the way off.
I was about to look it up.
Yeah, I hope I don't have to do that. You're one with the Lord. Okay, is it Bay Loffenberger, our one-time champ? Is it Kevin Harlan's football play-by-play? Is it Eric Chiafalo getting the yellow light from Brad Sham,
or
is it the youth pastor trying out for lead pastor, main pastor, major pastor? Yeah, I'm going to go with Kevin Harlan, Chief. How about you?
Yeah, I am actually going to go with the champ.
All righty. We're tied at one, Lucius.
Babe.
2-1, Wolchuk.
She said, why does he keep calling him babe?
I'll go with the sushi conversation.
Kevin Harlan.
By a score of 2-2, we have a tie.
jump onto our X account at GBagNation. We're going to create an Insta poll here over the break where you will be able to vote on who it should be. Okay, and when we get back, Chief, where are we going?
Best of the weekend. We got Big Man TD's whooping cough and the worst kick of all time next year in the nation.
Thank you, Lucius. Time now for Eric Chiafalo's Best of the Weekend. Here's the Chief.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. We had all of our water gun / water hoses teams go 0-3 over the weekend. So we keep a tally there. FSU is a part of that. You have the Titans.
Too much lollygagging.
That's right. Yeah, the Tennessee Titans, a part of that one. And then, of course, the Baltimore Ravens, who completely bleeped me and Dawson in Survivor.
Unbelievable.
Do you have any type of idea what you want to do for your payoff at Shakerton's in Arlington on Friday?
I'm leaning towards that new one Spittle posted with the mister, where you get sprayed in the face for a whole segment.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And we get to put a mystery bottle mix in there of spray?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think you get to have super soakers. You can have whatever you want and water at me.
No, but for, but it doesn't. But it doesn't just have to be water, right? It could just be any type of mystery mixes that we're spraying on you and stuff. Isn't that part of
it? Yes, anything you can buy at the store.
Anything you can buy at the store. Okay, yeah. That's perfect. Because remember that one thing? Gins. Remember that disgusting smelling thing we bought at the store that one time?
That was quite.
And we've hung on to that. I think it's gotten more and more rotten over the years.
You still have it in your trunk?
It expired, but I think that'll, these purposes, make it actually better.
As long as it's not a human or animal fluid, it's fair game.
Well, we got to check the animal fluid part.
Can't really confirm on that one. I don't know. Would you guys be all right with me doing the live at Shakerton's, a live rendition of the national anthem?
Yeah, absolutely.
At the break, belt it out for the studio audience.
I think it's got to be on the air. But
all
also,
three verses.
But also in front of, or I have to, even worse, I have to reenact that one guy's who, like, the Rockets were still there and still there.
Definitely the Rockets were involved.
And then nobody at Shakerton's will know that I'm butchering it on purpose, and they'll just think there. I'm a total schmo. I don't know, but I'm workshopping that right now. We'll see. But Friday, another back-to-back double bet payoff Friday in the G-Bag Nation.
Ooh, Bright Lights Big City seems fun, as well as your co-hosts get to apply your proper makeup for the HD cameras.
Ooh, that's actually pretty good right
I know you have experience doing that with your daughters.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. They could probably pitch in a little bit on that one.
Well, y'all gonna do each other's makeup? That's what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the idea, I heard it correctly and clear.
You're just gonna draw a bunch of dongs on your face. I know that's what Wolchek's gonna do to mine.
Yeah.
You get to use the makeup with like Sharpie markers. Is that what we get to do?
Yeah, I don't know. Not Sharpies, dude. We're not doing the Sharpies.
I'm going Sharpie and I'm leaving hairs.
So yes, the water hose and water gun teams went over the weekend, and now Florida State, congratulations to them. Very exciting. They have become the first team to clinch their under projected win total for the season.
Oh, yes.
And they didn't even quite pay $2 million to Memphis to get their asses kicked in front of their fans, which I say fans, and that was like a very few amount of them showing up after the start that Florida State's had to this season.
Yeah.
So between Florida State and Florida, it's about as bad as it gets. And I don't know if it gets any worse than for this guy here, this Florida fan, after Florida once again is in some serious trouble there. Their fans are dejected, and there is a mustache frat star with a nice Florida Gators overalls outfit on, shirtless underneath.
Yeah.
He's surrounded by some girls, but Jesse Palmer's on the call. He's also the Bachelor guy, so he's the host for that. And he has some Bachelor-ish analysis for the Gator fan in the stands.
What do we got here with the striped overalls?
Yeah, he's got a mustache. Can't see it now, but he's whipping his hand with his shirt. I'm going to make a bold prediction here. I'm going to say that guy's in the friend zone.
Tess loves it.
Listen, you are a top analyst. I'm just going to say, you know how to give analysis.
Years of relationship and dating. Dating. I see it up close and personal on my other job, and I think I'm going to say he's a good listener.
Bachelor Nation is in desperate need of this kind of analysis, Katie.
Don't kick a man while he's down, Jesse. Leave him alone.
No, I think he's a great guy. I didn't say he was a bad guy. I'm just saying I don't think he's dating anybody in the shot right now. I think he's...
just gets completely roasted by Jesse Palmer for no good reason, absolutely catching strays. And the thing that's funny for that guy or sad is like he has no idea in that moment what's happening to him.
No clue.
That's a, like a future self is going to realize what took place in that moment where you just got, you just went viral. And it was all for all the wrong reasons. So Florida teams and Florida fans just cannot get away from it. But I'll tell you what, the Gamecock fans had it rough over the weekend as well.
Is he talking about the guy in the mustache, though?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I think it's more so Jesse lashing out. He can't grow a lip ferret like this guy can. A dude with that kind of stash is not in the friend zone.
I can feel that.
I detect some hater.
Mustache envy just oozing off of Palmer.
Right, because immediately he's like, he's got a mustache. You can't see it now. You'll have to wait for him to turn around. And he's just envious. It's the one thing he doesn't have going for him is the facial hair.
That's surprising from a good-looking guy. You know, usually you would see that from somebody pretty average. You know,
yeah, exactly. That's that type of beta behavior that you would not expect from a guy who probably pulls, you know.
Yeah.
Now, here is before the Gamecocks got embarrassed after being up 17-0 on Broadus's team. They were actually shamed on College Game Day because they had the Pat McAfee kicks for money deal.
Yeah.
Where everybody gets a chance, or not everybody, but one special fortunate member of the Game Day crowd gets to step up, college kid, and win thousands and thousands of dollars for themselves, their school, local charities, all sorts of good stuff here. McAfee was crushing this kid, and rightfully so. This kid's kind of a bleep hole.
Have you ever said anything terrible about kickers before?
All the time.
Wait, why?
It's just so easy. They aren't a real kick. Like, it's not a sport.
Okay. Have you ever kicked a football before?
No.
Are you going to make this?
Have you ever had a beer before? Because it seems like it.
No, I haven't.
Now, completely sober?
Yes, sir.
You never kicked a football before?
No, sir. But I'm going to make it because it's easy.
Okay, relax, dude.
Yeah, no shot.
All the trash.
He's got no shot.
Call them bums. Joshua, you're a good man.
He got no shot.
$120,000.
Be ready, kid.
$60,000 to a scholarship. $60,000 in your pocket.
I told you.
Worst kick of all time. Worst
farther than the ball.
Worst kick of all time. Shoes under there. Ball is here. This guy sucks. You don't want that again.
I think Pat has been saving his money since he had to give away some.
We will still donate. This kid sucks. Back to you.
This kid sucks.
You're not going to be able to talk smack about kickers and then also do a bunch of flexing and then have the worst kick. I mean, his shoe did go further than the football on that one, which was pretty embarrassing for the kid. Now, maybe the coolest thing I saw this weekend was Weber State pulling out a play that I've never seen before, getting a big man TD by design.
Yes, this is. We got tagged in this, and I was like, what just happened?
Yeah, so take a look at the fan cam, Twitch and YouTube. Carter Freeman will pull up the video, but it is a fantastic touchdown play where the left tackle ends up taking the hook and ladder from the wide receiver and barrels into the end zone. It is absolutely fantastic. When I saw it first, I'm like, I guess this is legal? You can draw it up like this? We have enough athletes. We should have been doing this with Tyron Smith.
Yeah.
Because that's a guy I would have loved to see, like, with the ball in his hands, just stumbling down the sidelines a little bit. But what an awesome design there from Weber State, getting their left tackle to pay dirt.
It's a big weekend for the big man TDs, man. Can't wait for TD Tuesday.
Yeah, tomorrow's going to be absolutely legendary. And then Portland State had to cancel their game shortly before kickoff because their entire locker room was riddled with whooping cough.
Whooping cough, yeah.
Ooh.
That was not something I was expecting from the football weekend, but that's what Portland State granted us. They must have had some type of party, team gathering.
Super
and
spreader.
Got a little bit, went a little bit haywire, and then 3 hours before kickoff, you have a Dakota team flying to Oregon, and they're being told, sorry, kids, we're not going to play today.
Sorry.
Because your opponent, after you tackle him, is going to be coughing all over you. We can't do this. So, whooping cough, big man TDs, and the worst kick of all time. I would say it was a hell of a college football weekend.
Yes, sir, it was. And we will move now to maybe some NFL news of the day for 5-10 minutes. Mike McCarthy presser as well here as we continue on a overreaction Cowboys Monday. C-Notes coming up at 3:20. We're less than an hour away now from Krusty's Corner and Brian's film takeaways, and we're back here in the nation.